Over 200 experts have shared their secrets to a successful business. Join me, Rose Davidson, as I discover how these experts took their businesses to the next level.
Talking with the experts.
Welcome to Talking with the Experts. Talking about all things business by business owners for business owners.
Nothing wrong with any win fundamental, and they've all got lots of similarity, but it's how they are being utilized. Because what I witness is either salespeople that don't question, they just think it's a pitch and some chat, or they're using, they've been trained on one of these methodologies and they're using it as a menu system. So let's pick BANT as an example, not because it's any different than others, but just because it's nice and easy with the four acronyms: budget, authority, need, timescale. What I see happening, the salesperson might talk to the right, Rose, that's great. What sort of budget have you got for a project like this? Rose said, about $15,000. Great. And is there anyone else involved in the decision, Rose? No, probably just myself. I might involve Dave to have a look at it, but great. Okay. You know, so what I'm doing is I'm ticking off those boxes. Great, I've got the budget. What happens when the customer says, yeah, I haven't really got a budget?
Talking with the experts.
Hello and welcome to Talking with the Experts. My name is Rose Davidson from rosedavidson.com. And Talking with the Experts is about all things business by business owners for business owners. And you can find it on all good podcasting streaming platforms and on YouTube. And I have a returning guest, which is my very great pleasure, is Ian Moyse. And Ian's going to be talking to us about improving sales teams' behaviour and results. Now, Ian is the Chief Revenue Officer of 1UP Sales and has built many new business sales teams in both startups and large corporate organisations. He was awarded the accolade of the UK Sales Director of the Year by the British Excellence in Sales Management Awards and was listed in the top 50 sales keynote speakers by Top Sales World in 2019 and 2020. Wow, that's quite an achievement. Ian has been a regular judge on the Women in Sales Awards, Top Sales Awards, and the UK Cloud Awards. Welcome, Ian, and thank you so much for coming back on again. It's a wonderful to see you.
Pleasure to be invited. Thank you so much, Rose.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about what you've been up to since last we spoke.
Yeah, so, we're all still dealing with the pandemic that we didn't think we would when we last spoke, right? So, All interesting times. But continuing what I've been doing before, which is driving revenue growth, coaching salespeople, so that, you know, it's all about marginal gains for me and improvement. So it's been continuing that progress. And now I'm pleased to say I'm in the process as we speak of growing that team at the next step and putting some more people into the team. So we've got the first people in place when we were talking last year. They've come up to speed, delivered results, and now we're expanding that team to get slightly bigger.
Well done. So customer engagement is more important, and especially during the pandemic, because I don't think we're ever going to be post-pandemic anytime in the foreseeable future. But, you know, when remote working and distancing from the customer through electronic barriers such as this, it's become, you know, an easier process, and sales are more competitive than, you know, they've ever been, because the internet is just so noisy now. So how can, you know, business sales teams change that so that they can actually get through all that noise?
Yeah, so I think people are getting, there's a couple of bugbears I've got. I think people are getting distracted from the fundamentals of selling. And if we talk B2B, there's differences, as you mentioned, in B2C and online and marketing and e-commerce, et cetera. So I can't talk to the points that will cover everything. So let's talk B2B, where you're selling to another business owner or person in that business a product or service. And I think what and the pandemic has led to a little bit of this as well, is we've fallen into bad habits, what I've observed. And when I talk to other sales leaders, and I've been on a number of panels and discussions, I witness this happening quite a lot. And I get good feedback of, do you know what? You're right. I think we've become blinkered to a little bit of this. For example, you know, how many of us, including myself and you, we're working remotely and fall into the digital trap. Right. And what I mean by that is we get a WhatsApp message or an SMS, or we get an email, whatever the communication is. How do you respond to that by default? And the default response is typically on the same platform. Right. And that's in sales. What I've witnessed is email and or typically LinkedIn seem to become two of the common ones, where salespeople will reverberate that they've had I've had an update from the customer, I had a chat with them yesterday, and this is where we're at, type thing. And I question them often with, that's great, you spoke to them. And the number of times I get, no, we exchanged a couple of emails. Right, so it's understanding what is the communication that is going on with a prospective customer, and is it engaging, and is it the right type of communication for the conversation that should be taking place. So, you know, if it's, I'm confirming, Rose, you know, just confirming, we're still due to speak tomorrow at 2:00, an electronic communication fits, right? If it's, you've emailed into us, Rose, you know, we've been discussing things, Ian, yeah, we need some changes to the proposal, and because we're restructuring a little bit in the business, and I wanted to understand X, Y, and Z, how would that change? Is that not an opportunity for me to have a conversation with you rather than a communication, rather than just type some stuff by reply and service your request? That sounds to me, in the way I described it there, like, well, okay, well, what's changed? What's the impact? Well, rather than just give some answers, as I'm answering the questions you're asking, I don't know if you've asked the right questions.
Mm.
So
I would be ringing them though. I wouldn't be just emailing them.
Absolutely. And what I often get from people is, well, yeah, but they emailed us, so it's rude just to phone them. And my answer to that is, well, okay, if you haven't built enough rapport yet that you've got the email, that you can just phone them and say, you know, Rose, thank you so much for the email. It's now a good time to talk through what you've put in there. But if you're not comfortable doing that, do email them back. And email back is along the same lines. Rose, thank you so much for your email. For what you're asking, I think it'd be better if we had a conversation. Would this afternoon at 3:00 or tomorrow at 2:00 be better for you?
Yeah, I agree.
Because habitually, we all tend, I've yet to find anyone that says, no, I don't do that. We respond on the communication platform that the communication came in on. If you get a WhatsApp, you don't SMS them back. And I get why. It's logical, right? It's because then you've got the chain of conversation, and they chose to use an SMS. So it's polite. They're expecting an SMS back. So I get that. But there's nothing wrong with changing the channel where appropriate. Communication and conversation are two different things. Emailing and electronic communication, you don't get the tonality of voice. You don't get the clarification of understanding. You don't get the reaction, the immediacy of reaction. If I say something to you, or the tonality using. If you stopped me now, Rose, and said something, but I could sense the tone of voice had changed. Ian, let's just not discuss that. The tone's changed. I can say, it's not just the words being used, it's how you're saying it, and I can't get that off an electronic communication. And I also can't get clarity where you might be explaining something and I'm looking, you might just see me looking puzzled and think, Rose, sorry, when I expect, is that making sense? You don't do that on email, right? You just go, here's the information. Now they may have understood it or think they've understood it, but not understood it the right way. I can judge by how you're looking at me if there's some confusion there, and perhaps even force the clarity of, Rose, does that, it looks, is that clear? Does that make sense to you or not? I can.
No, it's like mud, clear as mud.
Yeah. So I think it's important, and for sales leaders, is to think about your salespeople, particularly younger salespeople, millennials and Zs, not because there's anything wrong, but they have grown up in a different time where electronic communication is being part of their daily lives. It's in their DNA from the beginning. Those of us who were there before social media and all these platforms and WhatsApp, you know, have at least got a foundation of having a conversation. You couldn't do it this way. You know, when I started in sales, there was the phone, meeting people, and you had a fax machine.
Yes.
And to send a fax, you'd type it, print it, go to the machine, push it through. Well, you didn't do with faxes what you do with emails. Faxes were to confirm something, were a point of record. That's what they were used for, not for for a conversation. You would have a phone conversation. There was far more phone conversations because it didn't work the way it does now. It's so too easy to email and copy three people in.
Yes, it is. It is very easy, and it's. I guess it's a little bit lazy. We've become even us dinosaurs have become lazy in the fact that we don't, pick up the phone to speak with people. We'd rather just email or text or do whatever it is that we're doing. Like we had a bit of confusion today about your interview because there was some password change, and the only way I could reach you was via email. Now, I looked at, and we aren't friends on Facebook, and I couldn't find you in LinkedIn, but I know that we're connected. So, I was really thankful that you got in touch with me because, I was feeling a bit annoyed that you hadn't turned up and it wasn't anything, either of us could do.
Yeah, it's the same, right? And I was trying, exactly. So miscommunication happens so easy. It happens less so in conversation. And it also, I'd link that into, so you've got communication versus conversation, you've got changing the channel. Think about if you get something, you don't have to respond on the same channel, right? You can choose to change the channel where it is appropriate to do so. And the other one is thinking about rapport, right, and relationship. Because if I email you multiple times, where I have one conversation, where do you get the most rapport with that individual?
Well, the conversation.
Right? It's the human interaction. It's the tonality. It's when you have a conversation, it's like, oh, what's happening in your life? Sorry, I'm like, oh my gosh, I just had a partial knock. Whatever it is, you talk about real stuff. You don't do that on email. You don't start an email out with that type of banter. Or rapport.
Well, the written word can be so misunderstood, can't it? I mean, how the writer intends it and the tone that they use whilst they're writing it may not be received and probably won't be received in the same way. And sometimes, that the receiver can be quite offended by the words that have been used when there was no offence intended in the first place.
Exactly. So I think number one is to improve the success rate you've got is have more conversations. Communication still has its place. I'm not saying don't use email, don't use LinkedIn, right? But think about when you're about to do it, should this better be a conversation and maybe turn the email into when can we speak? Here's a couple of suggestions and get the conversation or just pick up the phone if you've got the rapport enough to just do that, right? So that's number one, the first one, I guess. The other piece I'm seeing going on is because I'm interviewing again, right, salespeople, but I continually have had the pleasure across my career to interview a lot of salespeople, and I judge the number of sales awards, so I get to interact with salespeople also from different industries and sectors. And one of the fundamental skills I think is missing, which has a major impact on the success rate of conversions of opportunities to revenue, is good questioning skills. And I've talked about this before, and I think there's a fundamental flaw that's going on across industry around sales questioning methodologies being taken verbatim, particularly by young salespeople and getting training on them. And let me context that. There's a lot of sales methodologies out there. Ant, Scotsman, Spin, Challenger Sale, we could go on, we could probably name 20. Nothing wrong with any win fundamental, and they've all got lots of similarity, but it's how they are being utilized. Because what I witness is either salespeople that don't question, they just think it's a pitch and some chat, or they're using, they've been trained on one of these methodologies and they're using it as a menu system. So let's pick BANT as an example, not because it's any different than others, but just because it's nice and easy with the four acronyms: budget, authority, need, timescale. What I see happening is a salesperson might talk to the right, Rose, that's great. What sort of budget have you got for a project like this? Rose said, about $15,000. Great. And is there anyone else involved in the decision, Rose? No, probably just myself. I might involve Dave to have a look at it, but great. Okay. You know, so what I'm doing is I'm ticking off those boxes. Great, I've got the budget. What happens when the customer says, yeah, I haven't really got a budget, for example? What happens when they've said it's $15,000 and the salesperson moves on? That is flawed questioning, in my opinion, because if you say to me it's $15,000, the first thing I'm interested in is, well, okay, Rose, why 15,000? What's prompted that number? Because it's not 20,000, it's not 10, it's 15. Why is it 15? Oh, well, because that's what we looked at a project for this last year. We looked at a couple of products and that sort of seemed to be where the price was, and that's what we've got. Okay, understand that. What did you look at? What gave you that price? What were the products that were around that price? I'm now getting much more information around that budgetary piece, but more color around it. And Rose, so I appreciate that, but as you, we're not one of those products, and we're a year on, and your needs may have changed, and lots of things. If the solution isn't $15,000, what happens? What happens if to solve this problem we're discussing, you've just given me the summary of, what happens if to solve that it's 10,000 more, 25,000, whatever it is, does the project not go ahead? We'd look at if the value's there, we'd absolutely look at, and we can reallocate budget from others. It's just that's what we'd already allocated. Okay. Because otherwise what salespeople do, I'll tell you what happens is they come away, they go, right, so we've got 15,000 we've got to aim at. What can we sell them for 15,000? And then you've got in the background this conversation going on that doesn't need to go. Well, our product's 30,000. So what, they need 50% discount? Well, you're on a different agenda point that's not, you don't need to be on. You know, you're going down the wrong rabbit, Warren. I want to know more about it. And if you said to me, well, we haven't particularly got a budget for it, then I'm going to ask different questions around, okay, you know, but I'm not bothered. It doesn't stop me. Lots of salespeople get qualification because this methodology go, no budget, no project. And then 3 months, 6 months later, they hear that customer, they'll call them back. Wondered if there's any purpose to talking. Oh yeah, no, sorry, we bought XYZ now. Well, how could you have bought XYZ? There was no budget. Because the other salesperson asked better questions and didn't get siloed in a methodology that was a black and white piece, right? So my opinion is, you know, if you've got two salespeople at two different organizations, and one of them knows 20 more things, I'm picking a number out of the air, 20, 25, 15, 18, well, a bunch more things about that customer, their project, how they buy, what they're looking to do, the why, the what, the how, the who, are they in a, doesn't guarantee they're gonna win, but I ask everyone this, do you believe they would be in a better position to win?
Yes, they would be. They know everything that there is to know. And you're right, they have to ask the right questions, because not asking, you're not going to find out.
And I get people and salespeople in an interview, right? And a hint for anyone listening who's interviewing for a sales job at any point, they don't demonstrate in the interview process that they're a good questioner. I always say salespeople in interviewing for a job, you've been trained by the job that you do to be good at getting interviewed, because that's your job. It's to meet someone new, understand the requirements, to understand the individual beforehand, do all the stuff you do, and to sell them, qualify if there's a good fit. And if so, to win that deal? Well, in an interview, it's exactly the same, except the product is you and the deal is the job. But behave like you would, demonstrate it. So I always say it's an easy interviewing salespeople because I'm seeing your behaviors in the interview. And I want someone that makes it easy and does all demonstrates. So you can demonstrate. You know, if you're an architect, it's different, right? You may have some examples of your work, but you're not doing the job in the interview. You are as a salesperson. The interview is a sales job.
You have to actually sell yourself to be in the sales tape. So, you know.
And the biggie I see is in interviews, they're not good at questioning.
No, well, see, a lot of people aren't taught how to use active listening to be able to ask better questions. They listen to answer, they don't listen to ask.
Yeah, and I cite one example that I've told many, many times. And crikey, this must be 10 years ago now. And the individual at some point will probably reach out to me and go, I heard you talk, was that me? But I remember a customer, a prospective customer, who came to meet with us, and I was working at a vendor who was it was a small brand vendor, which typically is what I do. And they had, I always forget whether it was three or four, but there was at least three other competitors they were looking at. I think it was three. And they were major brand global names. So we were the small fry in that respect, right? And the individual came to meet with us in our office, just him. And I remember saying at the beginning, so quite happy to show you slides, tell you all about us and do a demo and all that stuff. But if you don't mind, before we do that, and if we get to that indeed, I'd like to ask a load of questions about the project, what you do. Because important for us is to understand if we're a good fit and where any shortcomings may be, and we'll be very transparent with you. Are you comfortable? We ask you as much as we can to really understand where we would be strong or weak for what you're looking at. Okay, sure, yeah. So we didn't talk about, we didn't go into a pit, we didn't show any slides. So we started talking, 2 hours went by, and so look, I need to, you know, we timed it, so we're running it, we need to sort of wrap, right. And I remember him saying at the end, you know what, guys, you challenge me. I've got a list of questions here I don't know the answers to. And I've met the other vendors, and I'll share with you, none of them approached this the way you did. They asked some questions that we did a bit, and then in a very succinct time, they were into telling me how wonderful they were, all the customers they had, all the logos, and showing me. You haven't shown me anything, but I think I understand more about the fit for the project than I do from any of the others. And he said, the fact I've got questions here that I don't know the answers to, you can probably already guess they didn't ask those questions. We won that deal in the end. Now, it wouldn't have guaranteed it, you don't win them all, but it was down to the process we took. We understood better at the end of that meeting than any of the other three had. And we had built credibility and rapport with that individual as to our approach. Who can I trust to work with if they've got the right products and solution, of course, and I believe can do it, and price and all the rest of it. But who did he have confidence with, who he felt he could work with? And it was us. And that's always stuck in my head of, it's the basics. We didn't do anything clever. We just asked questions and showed interest. And based on the answers he gave, we asked more questions.
It's like interviewing, podcast interviewing. You know, you. I mean, for me, I don't have any set questions. I just read, you know, your introduction, your bio and whatever, and then we have a conversation, and then I ask the questions based on what you've told me. And that's just because I use active listening, even though I do butting occasionally, but I still actively listen so that I can ask the right questions rather than just having a set of questions that are really boring and that I ask everybody. I think it's a ridiculous way to podcast. Yep. You know, I'd rather have a conversation with you or my guests, because each one is different and each podcast episode is different. So why have the same question? To me, it's a ridiculous way to do with things. You know, you wouldn't go to your doctor and ask the same questions about a different illness, would you?
Exactly. And if you think about the stuff I'm talking about, none of it's rocket science. All of it is fundamentals. But this is the important point. All of it has a positive impact on your revenue success.
Yes, it does.
I think there's a lot of focus, and I'm not saying it's not to do it, but there's a lot of focus and spend going on clever sales enablement and technologies and big, enterprise negotiation, complex, all this stuff. And I always question, are you getting the fundamentals right? You know, I work with my SDRs, listen to the, we do call reviews, and I go through, and guys, it's the verbiage, it's get the basics right. If you can get the basics right habitually, that you've got a good question method. Customers enjoy a good sales engagement. I'm pleased to say, I bought some SDRs on and they've been with me 9 months, but we've had lots of customer comments along the way. And when I'm then talking to them, they've created a prospect and it's in my team and we've done a demo, we've got a meeting, whatever. And the number of times I get feedback from the customer, going, oh, by the way, don't forget to say Mark did a great job. We really enjoyed the sales engagement with him. Right? They're thanking you for how your salespeople had a professional engagement. Thanking you for selling to me in a way. Right? Yeah. And if you do it in the right manner, people like to be sold to, because they sense the professionalism, they feel it, because they're used to the majority out there who are average and don't think about the level of detail of the verbiage, how you phrase things, how you approach things in a respectful manner, how you put yourself in the customer's shoes, how you put them, at the center of the engagement, and that you're truly, it's not about just getting a sale, it's about getting the right sale for the right customer.
Absolutely. Yes. And there are ways of going about it and there are ways of not going about it. And you just need to learn the right ways and then build on those.
Yep. Totally agree. And it's all about marginal gains. Like, this is small changes. This is small changes that my opinion is every conversation, if in every conversation you're slightly better at questioning, or slightly better at the follow-up, you do these things, you will get better results. You will. You'll nudge yourself forward. There isn't this one big epiphany fix you can apply. And I've done this with many, many companies, as you mentioned at the beginning, coming into smaller firms and also coaching and helping and advising others, coming in and not having to do this massive change, etc., but just identifying a set of marginal gains that the dials can all be moved slightly better. Well, just and they're easy changes to apply. That's the beauty of it. It isn't changing your whole sales process and going from 0 to 100. It's marginal things that people can adapt to and adopt and use quickly. Yeah, and then you look for the next marginal gain to layer upon it.
Yeah, it's baby steps. You just go a little bit at a little bit by a little bit. You'll get the big things at the end.
Yeah, and that's how I've done it in all these organisations. It's thinking about, what's this, and often I look at it and I'll analyse first. That's the first thing to do, is analyse what's going on currently, and that's what a number of companies use me to do for them is as a sort of a consultant's thing, analyse, have a look at the pros, have a look at what we're doing, identify the things that can be improved. And then let's improve them. So you can do this in a nice pocketed thing. It's not, oh my gosh, we need a 6-month engagement. It can be quite quick and quite impactful. It's just a fresh set of eyes looking at it with experience of, okay, why are you doing that way? Oh, I didn't even know to ask that question. Okay, we can change that behavior quite easily and it will have an impact. And it will have an impact forever and a day. Once you've changed it and it's if it's getting you more conversations with prospective customers, or is it getting you a marginal gain on conversions between conversations and demos booked or meetings booked, or conversions between demos booked and second demos, whatever the metrics are of your sales cycle, if you can marginally improve, at what point are people dropping out of that process? What's happening? What can we marginally improve? And is that the way, because you didn't ask the right questions? Is it because your salespeople are telling too much, or they're not using the hot button statements that are relevant that you've got these great here, but you're not using them. Sales people are not using these things. This is the way they're approaching it. They need to approach it differently. Look at the difference you get at that point of the pipe. Now, what difference can you make at this point of the process of the pipe? And you make those little ones. So along the way, if you get a slightly better conversion rate at each point of the pipe through marginal changes, the impact, the compounding impact of that can be dramatic. You know, you can go from a 1 in 5 win ratio, for example, to a 1 in 3, which means straight away your revenue's better off. What about moving the average deal value up by X percentage by doing X, Y, or Z? Right, so now you've got more deals that are won that you put the effort into and a slightly better average deal value. Those will compound to a much greater revenue result. Right. And what about qualifying out? Are we spending time on ones that, is there any patterns in there where we should have qualified out sooner, but through the better questioning? So what's your win rate? Oh, okay, but you've lost 12 deals that have got commonality to them. Do we understand why? Have we gone back and spoken to those customers? And actually, when another customer fits that pattern, do we just qualify out, or do we now know some new questions we're going to ask them? Qualify, is there a high propensity they're going to be one of these? So let's not put them through all this effort. Let's say to them and be open to the customer at that point, we don't think we'll be a good fit for you. And the reason is we've had 12 other customers like you in the last 4 months, whatever, who have chosen not to go with us for these reasons. And it might be they defend it and say, well, that's not a problem for us. But you're reducing the amount of effort you're putting into stuff that you do lose. There's all these little things. You start to do all these little things, boy, does it make a difference to the sales results.
Pause for a moment. So, have you written any books since last we spoke?
I wish, Rose, I had the time to do it. I've always thought that there's a book in me, and I've got an idea for a sales book of this sort of, you know, stuff that I don't read in others, you know, but it's finding the time to do that, as with everyone, I guess.
Young man, voice to text.
Yeah, I at some point I do want to produce that and have that moniker under my brand, but no, not at this point. I've done a lot of aside from a day job at 1UP Sales, I've done a lot of guesting on panels, podcasts, and creating some blog content, different things. So I'm still contributing, but it's trying to find the life balance to find the time to do it.
Yes, I'm of the same. I've been so busy just the start of this year. Like, we're only into the second week or third week, and I have no time to scratch myself. Pretty much, I've just been so busy. Anyway, where can people find you, Ian, if they want some more sales advice or, you know, little hints and tips and, you know, how to better their sales strategies?
Sure. Well, thank you for that. Two easy places to find me. If you go to ianmoyce.co.uk or ianmoyce.cloud, that will take you to my two key social profiles for that type of information.
So absolutely. Please
follow me on both of those. Thank you.
Yes, and I'll have to find you on LinkedIn. I thought we had connected, but perhaps we haven't. I don't know.
No, we are connected.
Okay. We just hadn't spoken for a while.
Yeah, go get on LinkedIn, and that's where the ianmoyce.co.uk will take you. It'll take you straight to my profile.
Perfect. All right, Ian. It's been a pleasure learning from you once again. Thank you so much for joining me. And I look forward to maybe speaking to you later on in the year, and I might invite you back again.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Thanks, Ian.
Talking with the experts.
Thanks for joining me on Talking with the Experts. Make sure you subscribe through your favourite podcast app or on YouTube, and check out my Patreon page for more value for you, or you can buy me a coffee. My name's Rose Davidson from rosedavidson.com. I look forward to your company next time when I'm talking with the experts.